thought maybe we'd just do a little bit, share a little bit maybe of what God has been doing in my life. He's chosen a somewhat unusual method of doing it. As Dick said, I live in Des Moines. I have a business and I sell livestock equipment and we build farm buildings. And I'm 33 years old and met the Lord in 1966 at Iowa State through Campus Crusade. And I'd been attending Bedside Baptist in St. Mary's of the Mattress, and they caught me out of the bars and led me to the Lord. And I made it into the kingdom just far enough that I would have had blisters on my heels if they would have slammed the pearly gates. And I believe that St. Peter would have said, "The last one is in, close the gates." It was how shallow my walk was. This is a 10-year-old Bible, and it had pages stuck together, and I didn't find it out till 73, to give you an idea of how much of the Word I was putting into my life. And God allowed me to have a reasonable amount of success in business. At the age of 28, I had 65 guys working for me, 2 phones on the desk, 2 secretaries, 7 engineers, company plane, expense account, and everything that you would think would be life eternal from that point of view. And then in 72, I won a sales contest to the Bahamas and managed to get drunk the night before, and my wife and I missed the plane. And as we hit the end of the runway at Peoria and the plane was in the air and that trip to the Bahamas went down the drain, the boom was lowered. And all of my previous affairs with other women and supporting Cutty Sark and Budweiser by myself, this sort of thing was all poured out to me. And in 4 hours, from Peoria to Des Moines, I said, "I need to stop and get gas, and would you like a candy bar?" And she talked from Peoria to Des Moines and just ticked off the things that I had done and how they were. And God gave me 28 years of revelation in about 4 hours. And I was so whipped that if you would have taken off my shoes, my toenails would just go up and down. I didn't have enough fiber left to hold them down. And I got on my knees with a living paperback, and I started praying down through the begats and right on through when I hit 1 Peter 5:7. Of course, and I guess she also unloaded on me that she had a guy that she was interested in, had been for about 3 years, and wanted a divorce. When I hit my knees, that was on my mind. And it was rather interesting that when I hit 1 Peter 5:7, casting all our cares upon him, God reached down and he picked up that weight. And I knew then that I was going to get through it, but I didn't know when or how. And so it really, from November 4th of 72, it continued at a stalemate. I cleaned up my act, left that job, and started my own business that I had dreamed on for 11 years. And then, so I continued. About this time, I met a guy who started to disciple me. And as he worked, I could see what he was, but I couldn't see how I was going to get there. And I kept saying, "You got to stick with me, you know, kick me, beat me, whatever you got to do to get my attention." And this guy hung with me. And then finally, in spring of 76, all this time, my wife has maintained this relationship with this other guy. And in January 76, I asked the Lord to do whatever you need to do in my life to get me where you can use me. I said, "I don't want one of these Moses deals of 40 years. Let's bring on the show." And God says, "All right, you want it, you got it." And from May until October, my net worth last year went down over $100,000. If you figure that up, that's 5 months. That's 20 days in a month. Figure that out. That's $1,000 a day or $125 an hour. And I mean, Paul says in Philippians, "My God shall supply all your need according to his riches and glory." And when you've got $30,000 in the bank and $30,000 in stock, that's pretty easy to believe. But when that goes out the window, it gets a little more interesting. And I started this business that I had in mind, you know, and it went down the tube. And jobs that I took on, I couldn't get enough money to finish them. And you talk about humiliation when you got to go to a guy and say, "You know, I took your money and I can't finish the job," and beg out of the contract. That does demoralize you a little. And then right in the middle of that, I got home one afternoon and the sheriff met me at the door with the papers that my wife was leaving. And then things got bad. And the business continued to nosedive. And the family was down the tubes. Got to the point where I couldn't borrow any more money at the bank. Got to the point where the last CD was gone, the stock was gone. And as my friend says, we are down to where the rubber meets the road. And every day it was just more failure. And things that I had done right for 10 years, I couldn't do right anymore. And I started wondering what God had in mind. But I, all through this, the scriptures became more relevant in the quiet time. I became more convinced that he had not made any mistakes in my life. And so I did a Russ Johnson, you know, I threw the last in the kitty, and I stood back and waited for the manna from heaven, and it just got worse. And so I threw it in again, and it got worse again. But I kept reading in the scriptures, and I kept looking. And my friend called me one night, and he laid a verse on me. It was Isaiah 30:18, and therefore will the Lord wait that he might be gracious unto you, that he will be exalted, that he may have mercy upon you. For the Lord is a God of justice, and blessed are all they that wait for him. And I thought about that, and I said, you know, I've had all the blessing I can stand. You know, how about we let this up a little? And yet, God saw fit to continue it. And I think my total income was under $1,000 from October through December. And when you live in a house with a $275 mortgage, that gets a little tight. And then, still, as the quiet times grew more meaningful, and I guess just out of fear of facing the day, they got kind of long, I could understand that God loved me, and that he was not zapping me, and that my, you know, Galatians 6:2 says, be not deceived, God is not mocked. And here I was praying for a crop failure from wild oats that I had sowed before, you know. Yet I knew that he was not zapping me, that he cared for me. And I started to, you know, you'll see people that face financial troubles and mama's right there by their side and they get through it. But when mama's trying to take what's left away, then it gets to be, comes down to me and to God. You know, and my dad had backed me at the bank and he had a chance to buy a farm and he couldn't because of that commitment at the bank. And I had to face my brothers and tell them that they were going to, you know, they're set another potential $300,000 in the estate, of which their share would have been $100,000. Say that wasn't going to happen because I'd screwed up. And that tends to shrink it, you know. But God uses these things. And then one day, I guess in March, I figured the bottom was about out. I'd been on my feet 11 hours at a show. I got home and there was a semi there to pick up equipment I couldn't pay for. Didn't have anybody to help. And I went down and I loaded 120 units that weigh 300 pounds apiece. I got home and I walked in and I picked up the phone and it had been unhooked. And I was three house payments behind. And I just took my Bible and I said, the hell with it. And I threw it into the wall. And I said, I've had it with God. If this is your way, I'm done. And I got up to the top of the stairs and I thought, wherewithal shall a young man cleanse his way? I was going in to take a shower. That word, you know, that word have I hid in mine heart that I might not sin against thee. And then these verses started coming out again. You know, I could do all things through Christ who strengthens me. You know, God is faithful. So back downstairs and run around and pick up all the papers and put them back in the Bible. And got back in the fold again. But I believe, I don't know that I'll ever hit that low again. And yet all this time, God became so much more real. You know, I can read that King James Bible like most people read a living because God has allowed that to happen. And he's, you know, a friend told me about a piece of old furniture that was painted. And when you finally got down past the paint, it wasn't all that bad looking. And if you've ever stripped furniture, you know how hard to work that is. And I'll tell you, when God starts stripping you, it is not. You know, I guess it is interesting. I can't say that if I can't say that. But yes, the relevancy of the scriptures, the support of this guy who'd put his life into mine, knowing that he was praying for me. And, you know, I was in Safari when any way he could bail me out or anybody else. And yet just our time together prospered, quiet time. I started seeing other people and I look and I said, you know, if God loves me and is not zapping me with this problem, he's not zapping you with yours. And try to convince people that he loves them, that he cares about them, and that I am dead center in the middle of his will. And he, through the family difficulties and the business difficulties, I had to find a Christian attorney. And my man that's put his life into mine says, you know, you don't just sit down and listen to anybody, check them out. So this guy invited me to Bible study, and I went down and checked him out. And kept going to the study, and eventually could encourage other people through my failures that God did not make any mistakes. And I just, you know, I praise God for each difficulty. And I've claimed those verses, and I've hit that table, and I've said, God, if that's calls for being thankful for it, I can't see it, but I'm going to thank you for it anyway. And ask you to show me why. And he never fails to do that. That peace of God that passes all understanding comes back. And when you sit down and open the mail and you get a couple lawsuits and four or five collection agencies, I know every collector from Cleveland to Denver, from Kansas City to Minneapolis. You know, you name them, I've talked to them. Heard every threat in the book, but nobody threatens God. And he's bailed me out time and time again. And the firing squad, you know, pulls the trigger, and God reaches down and picks up the bullets. And I think more than anything, it's been the scriptures, and it's been a guy to help me understand the scriptures. And to understand that this stripping down process is not because God is mad, but because he cares for me. And he wants to get me in a shape that he can use me to make me malleable, you know, to get into a knuckle-down deal. Well, I finally gave, you know, started going like this. And as each asset was taken away, you know, I had to take some money from our deacons this year so that we could eat. And when you've been a reasonable contributor to the church, that gets your attention. You know, you almost hate to cash a check. He got to sponge 20 bucks off somebody so he can go to a Navigator conference. That makes you wonder if it's worth it. But when you get to, when you go there and see that God is using that, then it's worth it. And I guess I would allow and ask God to continue to do this for the next 100 years, if that's what it takes to make me conform to the image of his son. And I think the verse that's meant more than anything, again, that my brother has been upholding me, shared with me, was John 17:3. And if you remember that song, you know, what's it all about, Alfie? And he said, this is life eternal. It's not whether you're in debt or out of debt. It's not whether your family's successful or not. It's not whether your relatives wonder what's wrong with you because you can't make your family go. It's not when people at a conference wonder, what are we doing in a workshop run by a guy whose business is on the rocks, his family's on the rocks. It's knowing God, the one true God. And as he's taken each thing away, he has replaced it with himself until all the needs that I have that I can see in the foreseeable future are right there in him. And I would just encourage you that if you're involved in the lives of others and they keep coming back and you don't see the Navigator profile of the guy that never gets his feet dirty, marries a virgin, never gets a dent in his car, knows 5,000 verses. But if your guy keeps coming back for help, even if, you know, stick with him. Because when God finally starts to deal, he's going to need you. And I would not have survived but for God taking me to this guy's door, you know, 4 years ago, and him hanging in there. And I talked to a counselor on the NAV staff, and I said who I was involved with. He says, well, I'm just going to hang up the phone, my friend, because God took you to where you couldn't be in better hands. And that's a guy that believes the scriptures. So I would just encourage you to stick with the people that you're working with. And when you see God at work, don't pray that he lift. You know, I had friends that were praying that God would take these burdens off. And, you know, let them go because, you know, God is at work to conform us to the image of his son. And it is worth it. I thank you for your time.